Hey, check it out. You're smoking with your boy Joe Thunder. This podcast brought to you by Be Good Dispensary, our official sponsor. Bringing you the latest and greatest in hip hop and the arts and cannabis culture with co hosts Elvis Freshly and DJ Sin. Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Joe Thunder back once again with another episode of the Smoking Joe Thunder podcast, coming straight from Be Good Dispensaries here on 11 West Hampton. You know what I'm saying? They got the latest and greatest in herbals, tinctures, edibles, you name it. Right, Elvis?
All the cannabis needs.
There you go. I got my homie co-host Elvis Freshly in the building.
Yo, what it do?
Can I get a wo-hum? Hell yeah, what's going on, bro? How you doing?
Yo, man, I'm chilling, bro.
Chilling?
Hi, you know, we smoked out.
It's session two. We doing our thing, man. You know, doing our thing. Shout out to Sin, you know what I mean?
She couldn't make it today.
But we got another, you know, another dope-ass episode for you, man. We don't stop. We keep it trucking, and we got this cat in the building today, man. Ooh. I mean, I know he's worked. A lot of y'all older cats definitely worked with him, you know.
Older beats, cats,
you
yes.
know what I mean? You know, all y'all new cats need to find out, you know, what's cracking with him. And shit, he brought a youngster that's killing the game with him as well, man. This cat's OG, straight northeast section of Denver,
northeast,
east side.
28th.
You know what I'm
28th
saying?
In York with it.
You know, my homie 800 the Jewel.
800 the Jewel in the
Jewel's
house.
Music. Yeah,
what a
yeah.
do, what a do, what a do.
Trugger Beats in the building. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Truga. What's happening? What's happening?
Trugger.
Trugger Beats. You know what I'm saying? What's going on, G?
Man, another day in the city, man. Beautiful, man. Appreciate y'all inviting me out to y'all spot, man. This is beautiful, man. You know what I'm saying? Y'all got a beautiful thing going here.
We appreciate you coming on out, man. And bless them because, like I said earlier, you got a lot of knowledge and you got a lot of history, man. You know what I mean?
I'm thankful, bro.
Doing this, man, that's the word for the day, right?
Look, I think that's number
word
19 since I've been here. Thankful. Thank that's 20.
We're trying to break 100, you know what I mean?
Thankful.
Let's go. Hey, it's a good thing to be.
Hey, it is, though.
Let's start off with that, man. What are you thankful for?
Man, I'm thankful for the fact that I'm still here, man. You know what I'm saying? I've had a great music career, man. I've got to see the world through this music stuff. We done a lot,
right.
Seen a lot. The people I've got to work with, you know what I'm saying? Being here with y'all tonight, man, you know what I'm saying? It just, you know, I move in silence, man. So, you know, a lot of the work that I do, you have to be looking for it. You know what I'm saying? As I've gotten older, man, I just kind of done tuned down a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Plus, I try to stay a family man.
Try low key.
Yeah, I'm a family man, bro. I'm a family man. I got kids and college and grown up. And, you know, I just try to just.
Responsibility. Yeah, that's responsibilities now because most of them are 18 we were talking about earlier, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, man.
Hallelujah. You heard? Can I get hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Out the house, you know say, grown up, say.
Yeah, man. I mean,
file their own taxes.
Man, file the taxes. And I mean, like, you know, it just. It's a beautiful thing, man. They families is doing good. My family doing good, man. Like I said, I'm here with y'all tonight. It's beautiful, man. It's gorgeous outside, bruh.
Right.
Man, I'm thankful, man.
Thankful.
Usually you're in the studio, right? Just got that shit set up.
Oh, man. Just got a new, brand new lab, man, off of West Colfax, man. Beautiful thing, man. Dope. Shout out to the homie Teddy for making it happen, man, because He put me in a hell of a situation, man, like in a beautiful situation. I already had a lab over off of 6th and Wadsworth, but one of the homies came through, man, and he made it happen, man. And, boy, I like to say, yeah, that booyah, man.
That's awesome.
And it's probably closer, right?
Man, actually, it's a little further, man. You know, when you come to my lab, you're going to get away. You're going to get away a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Because it's out west. You're going to get that scenic view like you headed to the mountains. You know what I'm saying? He's going to give you some clarity of mind. And it's just hopefully, man, when you get done, we got a Mona Lisa. You know what I mean? We got a masterpiece. Yes, sir, man.
Hell yeah. Hey, well, being that this is like your first time here, man, kind of tell them, you know, about where you come from, all that good
stuff
about from the northeast section
the
east side, you know what I mean?
Man, I grew up on 28th in York, across the street from Ben's. You know what I'm saying? When Brown Sugar used to be on 28th. Shout out to Brown Sugar, you know what I'm saying? When Howard's Liquor Store was on 28th, Times Market, you know what I'm saying? I stomped the halls of Manual High School, you know what I'm saying? I did that, you know what I'm saying?
Did you wear
thankful.
Cortez or Chucks?
I wore both, man. I even wore some Reebok Classics once upon a time, man.
Manual too.
Yeah, just shout out,
Manual.
Manual
thing
or man, Manual Miss White then. You familiar
Miss White? Oh, yeah, I know Miss White.
Are you talking about Miss White that?
be harassed.
Rest in peace, man. R.I.P. Miss White, on, man. Rest in peace, man. Yeah, give it up for Miss Gladys White.
That's right.
I know her from Merrill.
Yes, I mean, yeah, that's right. Early days, man. You know what I'm saying?
Telling the stories.
Yeah, man. You know what, Miss White?
I went to Merrill, too.
Hey, man, I'm gonna just I ain't gonna take too long with this one, but Miss White is the reason, man, I graduated on time, bro. Yeah. Because unfortunately, man, I had a little bit of a discrepancy with one of my partners, man. He's my brother still to this day. I love him, but we had a little discrepancy, and we got in trouble, man. And, you know, back then, that's when they put that policy in DPS, where if you got into a fight, you had to go to court.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and this is like the first year they did that policy. Because before that, you would just get suspended.
They did that for a long time.
Yeah, you would just get suspended, go home, or maybe get, you know, what they used to call it.
In-day suspension.
Yeah, in-house suspension, right. You know, or pass. Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? You would just get that. But then they switched over to this thing where they was trying to put, like, charges on brothers, man.
Yeah, give you a
they was trying to give you, like, a charge for, like, a criminal case, man.
Yeah.
And me and him... It was cold because, like, I had just turned 18. And he hadn't turned 18 yet, so it looked like you got this, the way it's looking, like this man.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? We boys, though. We in the same grade, everything, man. So, you know, shout out to Ms. White because, honestly, both of us, you know, and I'm sure he feel the same way because, you know, like I said, we still brothers to this day. I love that brother. You know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying, Miss White? She kept us from getting kicked out or
going to court.
Yeah, going to court and graduating on time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So shout out to Miss White, man. But yeah, outside of that though, you know, I grew up on 28th New York, man. The house over there, 2819, that's the name of this project I got coming out here in a few months.
Damn.
It's gonna be like the story of my life, man. Like I've done a lot of music, I've worked with a lot of artists. I'm thankful, man, for that. But I feel like, you know, I've never really had a chance to tell my story. Even out of the projects that I've done, I did music that I thought was hot for the times.
Right.
This is going to be like my story.
I was going to say, I thought your first one is 800 is the one that told the story.
Well, that was only in Colorado, my first project.
That's it. The one where you're, right? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that was only in Colorado, man. And, like, for the times, that's where I was at, man. It's got, and there's a lot of music on there, man. You got Mississippi Mac on there. You got, there's a lot of music on there, bro.
Yeah, man.
Probably one of the first, it was the first time I had actually put like an album together. But you know, prior to that, man, like, let's keep it real, man. I kind of started off my career, man, like as far as when people started noticing me and getting music out was with Cutting Crew, man.
Right.
Because Gary, shout out, Scratch G, you know what I'm saying? Him and one of my partners, rest in peace, TC, them brothers was cool. So they took heat on me early in life, man, and brought me in and let me produce. I got to, you know, there's a well-known hood classic album called The Ill Seven Riders. Mm-hmm. I started off with, you know, another hood classic, you know, The Underestimated, featuring Let Loose and 187. And then I had another project I did with them.
Hey, was that the one that was in the Understream? Like the little article in the Understream?
You know, I want to say, yeah. Yeah, that was it. That was it. I mean, there's some time ago, man, and that project had, man, you had people like Soul P. I mean, me and Soul P was on a lot of their production on there. Let did some production on there, I think. I mean, but you had like, it was all brothers who grew up in the neighborhood, and I was thankful, man. I was like the little brother,
right.
So they took me up under their wing, man, and showed me and made a lot of things happen as well. Shout out my brother Zeke Head. You know, because he had a lot to do with the first studio I had. By 17, man, I had a full recording studio in my mama's house. Like, and I ain't talking like little cassette recorders little, you know, I'm talking about ADATs, compressors, racks, all that shit, man. So I was thankful, man. But the homies believed in me like they did, man. And we came up together, man. You know, and as time grew, you know, shit, things changed, man. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I linked up with King Fo. At the time, he was still with Hilltop Click, man, and me and him just went through, and we just had a vibe. And let's keep it real, man. It's gonna sound crazy. Fo gonna kill me for this one. Me and Fo really hit it off, man. We found out that this is one of them stories for the crates, man. That we was
exclusive.
There was there was this chick that was we was both messing with or some shit, man.
Actually, I've heard this.
Though. Yeah, I think you probably know this story, dude. That's how me and her really got to talking, man, because it was funny because it was like I don't know. It was just it
were
was
y'all talking shit to each other. Or was
it
like
nah. It was just funny, man. Because you mean like, you know, I'm gonna be respectful with it, but a Lilo gonna be a Lilo, and that's what she was doing, man. She was being a Lilo. That's my word, y'all. You know, pinning patent, trademark Lilo. You know, a Lilo gonna be a Lilo though, man. And it was just funny to us because you know once we figured that out, man, it was game over, man. You know what I'm saying? But it was funny because. That's how we really started just chopping it. You know what I'm saying? With the music was one thing, but it was funny when we had something in common that shouldn't, like, the average brothers would probably kill somebody over. Right. It just was like, all right, so this is what it is. But
y'all made the most out of it.
We made the most out of it, man, and we built Jewel Time. You know what I'm saying? And Jewel Time, man, Jewel Time is the family still to this day, man. Right. Like, something that is going to always be family, man. But, you know, it was... some interesting days, man. I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking back, man.
Right. That's what I was going to ask you. So damn. Foe was like, well, would you say Foe was one of the original members of Jewel Time?
Absolutely, man.
Is there anyone else that's the original, or did people come after that?
Oh, man, there was a lot, man. I mean, like, Jewel Time, at one point, I think you in that picture, man. Yeah. You in that picture, man. There was like 20 of us, man. Like, we was like a gang.
Money, music, man.
We was so deep, man. We was like a gang, y'all. Like, we took a picture in Foe's front yard that summer, man. And we put it in.
Right down the block from here.
Put it in the inside of the album cover, man. We was deep, man.
I still have the posters and stuff.
Yeah, man. Like,
I got them all signed up. You know my shit.
We was deep, man. But, you know, shout out to Haven the Great. That's Jewel Time original, you know.
S.O. and Karma.
Thunderstorm. Yeah. Thunderstorm.
Little Trouble.
You know what I'm saying? Street. Yep. J Hood.
J Money.
There's so many, man. There's so many brothers, man. I'm just, like I said, I'm thankful, man. I'm thankful. And then Miracle at the end. Before he took on the reins of Absolute, Miracle came into Jewel Time. I met Miracle when he was like 14, man. We saw what that little brother had, and he just, like, it was a trip how I met him because it was accident. And then through Miracle, man, he built Absolute, and then with Absolute, so I'm sitting here with my brother Truga today.
That's what I was about to say. The talent runs in the blood. Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Chug over here with the beats.
Truga's a killer, man. And, I ain't going to take up all the time. We get back to me, but, you know, I'm gonna shift it over to Truga Beats, though, because – you know, like you said, man, I've been doing this shit. I've been producing, man, for like, if I really sit and think about it, I bought my first DR5 when I was, I bought a Roland, not DR5. DR5 was my second. I bought a Roland D5 when I was 14. It only had 8 tracks on it in sequence because my partner had a Roland JW50. My dude, Deep Love, rest in peace, man, some more of my roots where I came from with a group called Born Rugged. That was actually called Deffert and Ever. Rest in peace, Carl Banks as well. But Carl's family kept the movement going, and that's where I really got my first rap break. And then from there, man, things just started moving, man. I mean, I started putting out tracks. I started working with people. I started going to studios and meeting other engineers and other producers, man. And it just all started coming together, man, like it was meant to be.
How old were you at this point?
Shit, man. I'm
young.
I was young, man. I mean, you figure, man, like, there's so much to my history. Like, man, I could sit here and talk to y'all brothers for hours, man, because I give a shout out to two people I worked up under. Sir Jam was a producer out here, and there's another producer that my brother Ace turned me on to. Ace is a producer. Shout out Ace's Eye, formerly Paradox back in the day. But he turned me on to Gary Kennebrew. I mean, both of these dudes were established, man. I mean, like, I think that they had collabed, or I know Sir Jam has something to do with the – remember that commercial, Wanna Be Like Mike?
Yeah, man,
he had something to do with that, dude. We used to go to Sir Jam's house and, like, this dude – Sir Jam used to tour with – I don't know if he was a musician or what, man. Shout out, Sir Jam. But this dude had plaques on the wall from records he had helped produce with Prince and all type of people, man. Oh, I mean, like, these people were letting me in their homes. Wow. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I remember one night, Serge Am and his family, I mean, he had a family, man. He was a family man, bro. But he had a major recording studio in his basement, man. He told me, I asked him if I could come over because we were putting the finishing touches on a project. He let me in, man. It was about 11 o'clock at night. Brother answered the door in his nightwear.
Showed up or what?
I'm sorry?
You just showed up all random?
Well, no, I called him. He knew he was coming. But, I mean, the fact that he let us in, man, he went to bed. But he trusted me, man. And when you see people invest that trust... I mean, this man had a major. It wasn't like today where you like got laptops and stuff like this. I mean, this man had a major recording studio. Like, I had ADATs. He had DA-88s. DA-88s back then were the little ones. But these machines were, like, major, though, bro.
Right.
They're major. Like, the ADATs had clarity. Right. These things were major, though, bro. And he trusted me, man. And it was stuff like that, man, that helped me build and kind of humble myself, man, to who I became, man, and some of the stuff I've worked on, man. Me and you, Joe Thunder, we didn't, you know, you didn't allow me to produce and add tracks to mixtapes you'd have done over the years, man, and you know, and it's just, once again, thankful. What is that, 25? Yeah. Thankful. 26.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying?
But, yeah, man, shout out, man. I done came through a lot of brothers, man. I like working with brothers, man. You know, I really like working with brothers that I don't get to work with on a normal, man. You know, or brothers and sisters, you know, from all over the place, man. And, you know, I feel like our city got a lot to offer, man. Right. You know, I grew up here. This is my home, man. And I'm a always rep this mug to the fullest. You know what I'm saying? But there's a lot of new talent now, though. That's what I do see, bro.
What do you think of some of the new talent?
Man, I love the new talent, man, to be honest with you, man.
There's somebody out there catching your attention? Or
man, there's a lot of people catching my attention,
it's
man.
It's on fire, bro. There's like a lot of dope music.
There's a lot of dope music coming out of Colorado, man. And I'm going to be honest, man, and this may sound biased, but y'all got to keep in mind, like, I've heard these people, a lot of these brothers, man,
from the beginning,
man. But I'm going to tell you, man, like, the Box Boys, that's what they used to be called.
They're killing it.
But they're dangerous, man.
Dangerous.
Every one of them brothers is a single artist is dangerous, man. Like from, I mean, like I just think Colorado Miracle, of course. I mean, I work with bro. That's my little bro. Right. Truga them. Truga Beats. I mean, but I mean, you look at AP. All of them. AP, Trev, L Keys, all of them, man. Right. Like them brothers is, they, I'm going to give them brothers they flowers, man, because like, they dead serious about what they doing.
Yep.
And it can, and I can tell because all I got to do is jump on a social media account and I guarantee I'm going to see somebody from them on my timeline all the time. So, I mean, shout out, man. But I see a lot of other camps out there doing it too, man. There's a lot of talent coming out of Colorado right now, man. And it's just a matter of staying focused. That's what I tell any young artist, man, because it can get frustrating and everything. Stay focused, though. Stay focused.
Keep pushing.
Trust in your music. Trust in your music enough to get on a plane and go perform your music somewhere else.
Exactly. Travel.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Don't just lock yourself in. And Fo came up with the term, man. There's a lot of argument about this. You know what I'm about to say, Joe Thunder.
I came up with this shit.
Man,
I came up with the fucking box.
Fo came up with the term, the box.
I came up with the
box. I was there with Fo when he came up with the term, the box, man. I'm going to just keep it real, bro.
He said it on the air.
Look, Fo used to have a show called Out the Box. This was one of the earlier video shows back then, okay? And, like, the whole, even the symbol, the put your box up, yeah, that was all King Fo. I was there, man. Like, before I seen anybody do it, I'm going to just be honest. Me, personally, 800 to Jewel, I seen Fo, man. I give him his flowers for that, man, because, I mean, like, I seen a movement happen after he said that.
Yeah.
It took off, man. Like, everybody was talking about the box all of a sudden.
And that's how Box Boys.
I mean, the box, man. It was Colorado. Yeah. It was the box. I mean, like,
right.
I seen how it happened. I mean, like. And
it like trickled down to a whole.
Absolutely,
like
it did,
kind
man.
Of
I can't,
it,
I,
like
dude, I was
did.
There, bro. I remember the bro. Look, I remember. Look, these are some true stories, man. Yeah, I remember that too, man. I remember me and Fo 20 some years ago picking the black seeds out that shit. The black seeds. Y'all don't know about that. Everything that got good for you youngsters now.
I'm not miss that shit.
Yeah, the black seeds.
Give you a headache.
We should have a Reggie party.
Yeah, you better not smoke that shit.
We should have a Reggie party, y'all. This is a pound of Reggie. Yeah, you know how high motherfuckers they smoke that in like Everson. I mean, it might suck, but you would be higher than...
I done had some shit fresh out the gas tank when I was younger.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, man, I can remember when I was probably like 17 back in the day, man. Like, I promise, man, it was a straight 85 octane, bro. Shit smelled. I was afraid to smoke that shit.
Right. 85 octane.
Look. That was the strain back then, fool.
Seriously, man. I done had some shit when I was younger. It's a trip, man, because I try to be a role model these days. I try to step up, you know. I don't do too much. I still have my fun on the side. But when I was younger, man, I tell y'all, this is how y'all know if y'all got some swag, okay? I don't know. Like, I've been knowing you a long time, bro. If you ever dump some swag out and the shit start crawling off, I had a bag full of ants.
Oh, shit.
I had a bag full of ants once, man, and the shit I'm talking about, I'm sitting there. I thought we was tripping, man. You know what I'm saying? Right. Seriously, because we done dumped it. We about to do our thing, and the shit start crawling off.
Damn.
We like, I never had that shit like that. It's like four of us. We done all put in five on it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
where'd you get that from?
Man.
Well, I would have went after him.
Man, I'm talking about a bag full of red ants, bro. Oh, red ants, and it was one of them, for the old school folks, yeah, like myself. Where it was just a brick. It's a solid brick. You had to steam that shit apart once upon a time. Yeah. That's the only way you could get it open. It'd be like a pound, but it'd be like a brick like that.
We're talking about that lettuce and orange pills.
Yeah, hardcore shit. Yeah. You got to put that shit over. Y'all know. Yeah. We all grew up. So. Yeah. Well, you can't because, I mean, even if you break it up with a hammer, dude, like... Them are street stories, though. We ain't going to get into the street stories.
Look. Yeah, use the fucking...
Yeah, it's been over 7 years for sure, but you know what I'm saying? But, like, yeah, man, I always used to see the homies get mad because it'd be like, you know, normally you back in the day, you get a twomp sack, you know what I'm saying, and some stress, it'd be like a quarter ounce damn near. You know what I'm saying? For $20.
Quarter for 25.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? For 100. Back in the day.
Half ounce for 25.
Yeah, seriously, half though. Back in the day. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But, like, if you get a homie this little block, it may weigh out, but it's, like, this big. Because the brick was so hard. Yeah. Like, most of the homies weren't going for that. They weren't going for that shit back then.
Peel that shit apart. Steam that shit,
man. Let that shit come out.
Do something, huh? Hey, you fucking, like you said, you've worked with, like, a lot of people. When I think of, like, you, though, I think of Jewel Time, like you said. I think Foe Them. I think Allison Wright, B Black.
Thankful.
You know what I mean? Thankful. You know what I mean?
You know, and they was all from other camps, too, man. It's just that, you know what I'm saying? I was blessed, man, to be able to work with those type of people. Because they picked my sound, man. There was a whole bunch of producers at the time. There's still, there's a whole lot of musicians, producers, you know, I mean, you got everything now. But back then, I was thankful, man. You know what I'm saying? I got to work with On the Grind, which was basically Sandman, Riri, and them. I got to work with, man, there's so many, man. I mean, I can sit here and name people, man. But my mama's house, that's what it was. It was the basement of my mama's house, man. That's where it all started, man. Like, so many people that came through there, man. You know what I'm saying?
Thousands of tracks.
I'm talking about hours, man, of just music. I still got boxes of 8-ats. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That there's probably like 10, 15 albums that never even dropped for people who just never dropped them or whatever the case may have been, man. There's so much music. And I may have to piss some of these people off because I feel like... one of the little homies told me one time, like, music is to be heard. Mm-hmm. That's the main purpose of music, man, is to be heard. So, I mean, I've got, like, 3 hard drives, boxes of 8-ats. There's a whole lot of shit that I got that ain't been heard.
Right.
And I may release, like, compilations of this shit, man, because, I mean, like, I got some artists I got 2-3 albums on, man. And I never heard from them again. And, I mean, them is the type of situations that make you wonder, though. When a person put in that much work, like, you just never hear from them again. Like, are they alive still? Like, shit happens in the world, yeah. bro.
Right.
You might know what I'm saying? Know. Somebody, yeah. I mean, I know a bunch of people, man. Like, rest in peace, my brother Jones, man. You know what I'm saying? I had the pleasure of working with that brother, man. And then I got word that he had passed. Oh, shit. He was like 15 wow. years younger than me. Wow. I mean, you don't expect people like that to pass away, man.
Right, nah.
You know what I'm saying? So you have to be thankful, man, once again. And I'm very much so thankful, man.
Yeah,
very much so thankful.
Hey, I was going to ask you, like, when you were growing up and you started making beats, who were, like, some of the people, you, like, producers you looked up to in the town? Because I feel like those cats always kind of get slept on, you know what I mean?
In the town,
like, especially,
here?
Especially, yeah, like, early producers, you know what I mean, in Colorado hip-hop.
Man. There's so many, man. Like I said, Scratch G, one of the first, Scratch was out there. I mean, like, he had, Scratch and produced and cut and DJed and done everything. Man, producers, like I said, Sir Jam, Gary Kennebrew, you got other people, man, that influenced me, like Zay Boo. I mean, like, that dude, man, still doing it, man. I mean, and doing it well. You have people like, man, there's so many, man. I mean, like, I done been around, it's like Select the Sam, and yeah. there's so many, dude.
Everyone, like, you learn a little bit from everyone. You
I mean, seriously, man, I done been to shows where, like, and I don't even know that brother, man, but, like, No Friend, though. Yeah. Dude is, I mean, like, dude is a beast.
Right.
I speak it, man. I've seen the dude work, man, on stage, man. Right. You got people like man, there's just so many, bro. Like, I'm sitting here thinking, like, there's so, from my era, when I was younger, the people I looked up to, man, you know what I'm saying? You had groups out, like, When I first came out, or when I'm listening to Colorado music, while I'm listening to other music and stuff mm-hmm. that's catching my ear back then, man. Like, there was groups before me. I think like 2960, them brothers was out the Hillside. I mean, that was before me. You look at the Trips. If you remember them, like, they had Algesum. G-Sum was before me. I mean, as far as, like, what was catching my ear back then, you had, I'm trying to remember their names, man. They had a video they did on the Five Points, brother. I'm trying to remember that video, man. This is all way before me, man. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I just...
Years and years ago.
We're talking years and years ago, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so much, though, man. Colorado has history, man, and it's all deep-rooted, man. I even did some studying, man, because, I mean, for those who don't know, I mean, you go to the Five Points now and get you a cream cheese bagel. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, type right. of... I ain't going to even get into that.
Rosenberg.
I ain't going to even get into that, man. Oh, you know what I'm saying? But when I grew up... I mean, I grew up... When there was a Church's Chicken on the Five Points. Right. When Zona's Cafeteria was across the street cracking. You go get yep. you a pig ear sandwich.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? We used to go down to...
She was Mona's.
All that, man. You know what I'm saying? We would go down to, like, before the Caribbean Cafe was where they at, they was down the block. You know what I'm saying? And the Capri Chicken. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
You
like
go to M&D's?
All that, bro. M&D's was down the street from my house, right, bro. I lived on 28th, man.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right, yeah,
M&D's... Man, my mama sent me up there for a whiting dinner or red snapper, man. You know what I'm saying? And the peach cobbler. You know what I'm saying? For M&D's, man. Like, I was there, man. And I'm glad. Once again, I'm thankful.
Thankful.
Because them same blocks that I walked up and down to get to Manuel, I can look at some of the stains on them blocks, and this is what's real about it. And this is how real life is. This is how you got to take it. There's some stains on them blocks, man, that I know I walked past, man, from people I knew who died on them blocks.
Right.
Because blood don't come up, man, once it stains, man, especially concrete, man, it's going to stain it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm walking past, like, M&D's and shit, I'm looking at certain things on the sidewalk, and, I mean, like, I can put names to them and things like that, man. Once again, thankful. Nobody, bullet has no name, man. And I mean, like, I'm thankful, man, because I mean, like, even being, I mean, there's a lot of shit that happened that wasn't necessarily me that just happened, and I just happened to be around.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Right. You know what I'm saying? I know a lot of people who died, man, because of situations like that.
Just kicking it, not even you know paying what I'm attention, saying? And before you know it, someone starts busting.
Man, it happens like that, man. I lost a lot of good friends and a lot of good artists, man, through that. Shout out, you know what I'm saying? Rest in peace, 720. Rest in peace, my dude, Nicotine.
Yeah, 720.
You know what I'm saying? In peace, my nigga, Thump. You know what I'm saying? I done lost a lot of good people like that, man. Just wrong place, wrong time.
Right.
And these people were talented. These people had lives. Yeah. These people had dreams and ambitions. Just like, I mean, them was just the ones I'm naming, man. Them was the ones that I dealt with the music with. There's so many more. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Not just my homies, but y'all, you know, I say your homies too. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody got them stories, man. Who wasn't necessarily affiliated with nothing or anything like that, man. Just, you know, back in the day, DPS would throw parties. I mean, everything. Club shootouts. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that. Shit like that, man. You know what I'm saying? When really, man, I mean, like, I don't know. I've always been taught, man, if you got a problem with a man, you approach him like a man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He may not feel you. He may not understand where you're coming from. He may take it as a threat, man. But if you approach him like a man, the one thing he can give you for that is respect or at least meet you halfway. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm real big on life, man. I'm real big on love. I'm real big on networking. I'm real big on, doing events like being here with you brothers, man, for people who are actually seeing what's going on in the community and trying to make that outreach, you know what I'm saying, to get to the people, to use the voice that they have and the time and the effort that they have to reach these people, man.
And
you know what I'm saying?
At the same time.
Yeah. Same time, man. You know what I'm saying? I feel, you know.
That's one thing, Doug, honestly. Me and Elvis were talking about this today. You got to know the history, bro.
You got to know the history, man.
At least a little bit. At least the fucking, you
enough.
Know.
Look, I look at it like this, fellas. I feel like the 5 points should be cracking just like Chicago or New York.
Yep.
I'm going to keep it real with y'all, man. Because the 5 points, once upon a time in the early 1900s, the 5 points was one of the stops. As far as like music and
all
stuff.
All the music.
You know what I'm saying? Etta James, you know what I'm saying? Cab Calloway, Louis Armstrong, all that, man. They all came all through them. Denver, man. Yeah. 5 points.
They've all played.
The Rasonian, the Casino, the Cabaret, all them places, Casino, man. Cabaret. There's history here, man. Yeah, and I mean, like, I guess my question is why ain't that history still here? Why aren't we still making history with that here? You know what I'm saying? I got to perform in places that a lot of these kids will never perform in, man. I got to perform in the Olympians. I don't know if you remember them days, man. The Olympians Theater, man, is a landmark. They made it a landmark where they stopped letting us perform. Right. Yeah. Yep. They stopped letting us perform down there, man. I mean, but you got levels in there that are like auditoriums. It's just a building of auditoriums, bro. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, I got to rock that motherfucker, bro. I mean, like, big-ass show. You know what I'm saying? But unfortunately, you know what I'm saying? Shit happens. And when shit happens, people get nervous. People with money, let me just keep it real. People with money get nervous.
Right.
I mean, when you got to pay an insurance claim because somebody got shot in your parking lot or something, I mean, that shit, it does. And this is what people need to think about, though, man. You know what I'm saying? In order for us to have something, we all got to contribute, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, we all got to do something, man, like, to make it, man. Because, like, from when I started performing to today, I don't see the venues out there like we was, man. I've done shows in the Casino Cabaret. I've done shows in, I mean, like, I've done shows in the Fox. I mean, all over this damn town, man. You can't do these type of shows no more. They won't let you.
Right.
I mean, so the internet has become the outlet for a lot of music, though, because of this. Well, at least here. I mean, there's still places. Shout out Herman's Hideaway. They still let
the
brothers
Roxy
come in.
Always be
the
there.
Roxy. You know what I'm saying? There's still venues that do it, but there were so many more when we was coming up, though, bro. I done performed in places I can't even remember, bro. They've been turned into like Chick-fil-A's and shit.
Nah, for real.
You know
bro.
What I'm saying? Like, seriously, man, because there was a bigger scope of things back then, man. And we got to get back to that. I feel like, look, once again, this type of podcast here, y'all show, is beautiful because it gets us back to where we need to be. Right. You know, I feel like a lot of people have a bad misconception about rap or hip hop or however you want to. They see it as dangerous. Yeah. They see it as you know, I've never looked at it. A lot of these venues here will ask you, like, is it going to be like, are you throwing a party or are you throwing a rave? Because if it falls under rave, like, they're going to ask you 9 times out of 10, for one, what type of security you going to be able to provide. Mm-hmm. If you can't do that, you probably ain't going to get the venue.
Hey, fuck
right.
You know what I'm saying? Everything done changed, bro. Once upon a time, these places were...
Or it's part of their fee now.
It was part of the whatever. It was part of the package deal.
Yeah.
If you were going to come do this show at this event center or at this theater... Then okay, we're gonna. If you need extra security, it's all included, man. But now everything is different, man. Everything is different, and you know, I feel like it takes us, man. Us being the community of people who love the music, us being the people who contribute to it, us being the people who see the future and what needs to be done, man, in order to keep this thing thriving, man. Right. You know what I'm saying? Man, it's deep, man, and I can get real deep with it because I've seen so many different aspects, man. Right. I've seen the days when cats used to press up through disc makers, and we go hit the parks and shit, exactly. Slanging CDs and shit, yeah. Downtown and all that.
In the day of the burners,
yeah, all the day. Me and you done sat up. I done sat up a few nights with you, bro, duplicating CDs on the burners. You had the burners, yeah, absolutely.
All night long,
man. To internet, all of a sudden you can pay like $29 some sites, $9 on some sites, whatever. Put your shit right up on Apple with everybody else's shit. You know, like I feel like if my generation or if my era would have had that, I mean, there would be so many artists a lot further.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then. Us kidding the road. I mean, we used to grind, man. We done been on the road. We done shows. We done tours. We done everything, man. And once again, thankful. I got to see the world. I got to see a good portion of America just because I did music.
Right.
Because, you know, we would go out and, you know, we'd get to a place, you know what I'm saying? And most of the promoters would hit us up like, well, what y'all smoke? Y'all smoke? Yeah. You know, y'all drink? Yeah. You know, we just show up at a hotel suite and everything would be there. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like, I'm thankful for that shit. You know what I'm saying? But then I believe in this next generation, though. And that's when I hooked up with, you know what I'm saying? Like, I went through the Jewel Time. Jewel Time is family. Jewel Time going to always be family.
Yep.
All the brothers, all the sisters who are part of that. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, like, everybody kind of tuned into their own thing. Like, I went one direction, and like the brothers, everybody had their own thing, man. Like after we did Music Money and Roundtables, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Fo and them jumped into the Black Hearts Project. And I mean, like, I played a part in it, you know what I'm saying? Like, they like I tracked a lot of the music and a lot of the vocals. Some of the vocals were done, you know what I'm saying, at the lab, you know? But then you had like, myself dealing with personal family shit, so I was kind of in a middle place. And then like everybody had things, man. Everybody, we grew up,
right?
Where we once was kids and we had the time and the passion to be in one place all day. Now we had like families, you know what I'm saying?
Responsibility.
Parents getting sick, all type of stuff going on. You know what I'm saying? So. We focused. I think we all focused on certain things, man. You know what I'm saying? And we all kept ourselves focused, should I say? But you know what I'm saying? It's still Jewel Time. It's gonna always be Jewel Time. Lately, I've been rolling with my little brothers. Absolute. Absolute is if you don't know Absolute, Absolute is something to tune into. I'm sure you do though, because I know Miracle done been on here a few times.
Right.
And. That's why I brought Truger tonight, man. I don't want to hog the mic, man, but I brought my little brother Truger because I believe in each one teach one, man. He's my little brother because, I mean, like, I see what he's doing, man. And like I treat him like my little brother. You don't want your little brother, if you didn't already been down this road, you don't want your little brother to go down that road.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, definitely.
And if you love your little brother, you gonna make sure your little brother has whatever you done been through, he gonna know it. You know what I'm saying? So he can hopefully avoid some of that shit, man. Cause I done been through some fucked up shit with this music shit, bro. I'll be honest with you, man. There's been good, a lot of good, but there's been some fucked up shit too, man. This music shit is dangerous. And
it'll
I know
get
it.
Get you if you don't know what the fuck's up. Right?
We done been into, I think you was there that night. I ain't gonna even bring it up too much, but I think you was there that night that all hell broke loose at the Snake Pit.
It was my birthday party.
Yeah, it's been 7 years now. I mean, I could talk about it a little bit, but I ain't going to talk about it too much. But all hell broke loose, man, and it was a bad night. That was the first night, Joe Thunder, that something like that had happened.
Right, for real. That's
yeah, and all of my performing, I'm talking about, I done been in shit where parking lots done got shot up and everything, but it wasn't in the club. It wasn't part of the what was going on in the club. And that night, I think that night, man, that changed everything with me, bro.
And the Snake Pit is so small in there, too.
Man, it changed everything with me, man, because I had never looked at my music as being, or I never looked at the music as being threatening.
Yeah.
Or having an effect on a person seeing us up on stage doing what we doing, making them, like, creating anger, where a person's just getting angry, bro. Yeah. Like, I never experienced nothing like that. And like I said, I mean, after the club, absolutely, man. This is what it is, man. Because you go to these cities, you go to these states, even here in the city, man. They lost a whole lot of homeboys after the club. Yep. On some stupid shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, whether it was a Lilo or an argument or whatever, yeah. Man. Like I said earlier, man, approach me as a man. I ain't no threat to nobody. I don't feel like I'm a threat to nobody. I'll protect mine. I'll say that.
Of course.
I will protect mine.
Of course.
But I'm not no threat to nobody. You know what I'm saying? Approach me like a man. You know what I'm saying? Come at me. If you got a problem with me, I'd feel like we can both sit down, man. I'm not a young dude no more, man. I'm an older cat.
Cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah, man. We can sit down and have a drink, man, because maybe there's a part missing that you don't got. Or maybe there's a part missing that I don't got.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You got something going on.
Exactly, man. Be a man. I mean, like, let's man up on this shit, bro. We all done, I mean, most of us done grew up in this motherfucker where we know each other or know somebody's cousin or done fuck with somebody's little sister or they niece or something. I mean, it's just how it is, man. Colorado's not that big.
Right.
It's not. Right. You know what I'm saying? I done walked into shows in other cities in this motherfucker like, oh, boy. Like, I need to go outside.
Right.
I wasn't expecting them people to be here. Like, not her. Oh, boy. Like, oh. It's like, you're 85 miles away from home. What you doing here? Like,
and if
it been crazy, man. Hey, man, that's what I want. Look, let me put you on the spot, man. What's I thought that? You. Look, can I put you on the spot?
I don't give a shit.
It's going to be a crazy question, bro. Hey, man, what happened to you getting into the adult industry? Look, I'm just sitting here thinking, man. Wait a minute.
Fat Jesus.
Fat Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about. Fat Jesus is my other.
Oh, you didn't know already? Oh, you didn't know?
Look, well, no, I just remember. Look, this is a conversation me and Joe Thunder had like 15 years ago. Joe Thunder said he was going to become an adult film director. That's what he said. You was talking about shooting.
I don't remember that.
I remember. Dude, oh my goodness.
I believe it.
I promise, man. I can tell you how
I think I
was sitting in that chair in front of your kitchen.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say the person's name.
Okay.
But it was another homie that's really known.
Yeah.
He's been on the podcast.
Yeah, okay, okay.
But we were talking about doing like some kind of parties.
Okay, yeah.
Where like, you know what I mean? Where people.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Joe Thunder was going to turn up.
Indulging drugs.
Shit and, goes wild. Know, like a girl's gone wild type shit.
Joe Thunder gone wild.
Nah, yeah, I don't know about all that.
But yeah, I remember, man, because
Joe Thunder's wild.
I ain't gonna say too much, man, but I just was quick curious because I mean it's business, man. The adult entertainment industry makes a lot of
lucrative
money.
Lucrative business. Yeah.
Like they said, what was it? There was some statistics my cousins was telling me that one of the Super Bowls, man, more people logged on to Pornhub or some shit like that than they watched the Super Bowl. Like, there's some statistic out there, man.
Yeah.
It's just, man, the adult industry is lucrative, man, like you said. I agree with you on that, man.
Very.
There's money out there to be made.
There's, I mean, like, shoot, I'll direct it.
There's money in fucking.
Yeah, there's money in, man. The man said it. But yeah, I brought Truger Beats, though. Truger Beats, man. Look, I just.
What up?
He been over here, man. Hey, my brother's.
I think
brother's
he's
humble.
High, bro. I think he's like, damn, I know what I got in tonight because I smoke weed, but these motherfuckers.
I'm cool.
Nah, he's ready.
My bro is, yeah, he calm and collected.
Seasoned
man.
Smoker, right?
Yeah.
I brought my brother Truger Beats with y'all because I wanted him on here with me because me and him been doing a lot here lately, too, man. And, like, it don't stop. You know?
Yeah, we heard some stuff a little bit ago. It was really. Really dope. All over the place, too, and it was all dope, too. Like,
man.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
Tell them who you are, bro.
Different genres.
Yeah, man, they call me Truger Beats. I originally got my name from DJ Centerfold, core DJ from Slip and Slide DJs. And
Trick Daddy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He used to work with them. He's also part of Drum Squad DJs with Drummer Boy.
Mm-hmm.
I had the pleasure of meeting him last year. In Atlanta, going to his house, was able to chop it up with him and you know, just see what it's like in his realm of being in a producer, you know, being in a producer mindset, you know, in that kind of environment. So that was pretty neat. The reason why DJ Centerfold gave me that name is because. He said, I'm the truth in making beats. And it reminds him of Freddy Krueger. So he ended up calling me Freddy Truger. So I dropped Freddy and went with Truger.
Sick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's dope. And you said you and A. Hunter have been working on some beats and y'all had, you know, you said
correct.
You kind of got a couple out there, right? Talk about that.
Well, we have a project we got coming out sometime or another called Time Signatures. We've been working on that. We're just at the point where we have all the beats. We just have to mix them down and get them ready to be released and things. A couple of them, one got placed with Strange Music about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
Probably about 90,000 streams so far. And then I have another one that I dropped with Stevie Stone. They both were with Stevie Stone.
Okay.
The second one is called Hennessy and Harmony. That's also,
Hennessy and Harmony.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful, beautiful name.
Is that they can find that on YouTube, Apple Music?
Absolutely,
yeah, absolutely.
Check that out as soon as you get there.
Man,
yep. Bangers. And then both of our credits are on there, so they made sure that they gave us credit. The business was good, so we had no issues with
paperwork, straight, everything. It was beautiful.
With none of that, so. You know, that's why I encourage, you know, artists and producers to make sure that they had a split sheets right, make sure that they know about the business, because if they don't, they just putting out music for free and not making nothing. So.
Right, and they could be making some money.
Right. Look, I've been talking about publishing for like 15, 20 years. Right. I've been trying to tell people, like, get publishing. Like, people will be thinking there's been a lot of artists thought I was just jawjacking. Like, no, man, and like, get your publishing. When you do these shows.
Yeah.
When you go out in the world and when you get producer credits or when you get, you know, a percentage of whatever royalty that you're getting, this is how you get paid. This is one of your mechanical royalties.
Yeah.
Like, this is part of your paycheck, man, is having that paperwork done and registered with ASCAP or BMI or whoever, man. But this is how you make money.
But, you know, the problem is that a lot of them don't know where to collect from or how to even collect.
That's true.
In the first place, it's mind-boggling to me how many artists out there is not registered with a PRO company.
Seriously.
So,
seriously.
And then you know they get with the producers. There's no split sheets, so the producers lose out on money as well as the artists. Yep. So it's just if all the business is right, then everything else is right.
How did you gain all this knowledge, man?
Just by being in the industry for all these years, working with mentors. Like, I know I work with Kato on the track. He works for he works with Jaron Bitten from Atlanta. I don't know if you heard of him. Hobson.
Yeah.
He works with Dizzy Wright. Mm-hmm. So I talk to him on Instagram and everything, ask him questions. On top of that, there's other producers like Sweef from 808 Mafia. I work with him. I've done some collabs with him. Twisted Genius, that produced on the My Turn album with Lil Baby, has about 4 songs on there. I've worked with him. DJ Payne, real mentor. All the producers out there, I advise you listening to him, getting into his entrepreneurship club that he has online and everything, which is awesome, because you gain knowledge and they talk about real life stuff that you could possibly go through, and help you. They help you learn, get to know the business and stuff like that too.
Yes, sir.
So that you don't have to come across what other people have come across. So. Yeah, that's how I gained my knowledge.
Like you said, you could be losing out on a lot.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them don't know that, you know, you don't collect your royalties. Guess where it go? Like, after a few years, it go to the top 2% earners of the world, which is like your Drakes and your Ariana Grandes and your stuff. They getting all the money that artists out here ain't collecting. Imagine how much that is.
That's crazy. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
You know, so it's just... off the chain. You could really have
learn
to
learn how to monetize.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's where I see the biggest problem just in recording over the past 30 years or almost, is that most people will come into the studio, they got the project, they got the music, they got the lyrics, they've recorded it, it's mixed, it's done. What do I do now? Like, because it's hard. Like, if you've never shopped an album before, it's not easy to shop an album, man.
Let alone a single.
Well, especially if you've never done it before, though. Right. You have no connections. You have nobody in the industry. You have nobody to point you in the direction to say, this is your next move.
That's where you need that money.
This
That's
is where you need that. Yeah. I mean, like, seriously. Right. Or, exactly. You know, it's, exactly. Or, I mean, like, it's, I believe in that. That's the way to go these days. Yeah. But, like, I also believe in it ain't what you know, it's who you know.
Exactly.
I mean, absolutely. There's a lot of people who got deals because they was such and such as kid and had an auntie who just happened to sing with the Supremes or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Seriously, man. Like, there's a lot of people you'll find, like, they have it's almost like being pedigree. They got lineage.
Exactly.
To other people who were famous once upon a time, you know?
Well, that's why if you don't know nobody, that the best thing to do is go to a market where you can meet the criteria that you want to meet.
Absolutely.
As far as what you want to do in your career and take it seriously.
Take it serious.
To make that leap of faith and go out there and get it. Because you're going to be 50, 60 year old talking about, oh, I shouldn't did this and I should have did that. And
that's
then,
right.
Regretting everything. Like, you know, you don't want to live life that way. So,
right.
Excuse me. Just go out there and pursue your dreams, whatever
yes,
that is.
Yes, sir.
You only get one life, so.
That's it.
Make the best of it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, man.
I agree, man. Shit, you know what I mean? You got to make every day count.
You got to make every day count.
Tomorrow might not be here, bro.
Right.
You know, and it's the truth, though, man. I mean, like, that's what I see, though. That's where I see. There are, I mean, like, I've heard some projects, man, and I know it ain't just my spot, but I've heard some projects come through my studio that I've had the pleasure and the honor of mixing that, I mean, could literally compete with what was on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they didn't have the right push or the right backing behind them to make it go any further, man. And I've seen them put it up. You know what I'm saying? No names or nothing.
A lot of it's the finance, you know. Like,
it is.
That's the big part of the money.
You know, it's like Young Dolph said it best. It take anywhere from $250,000 to $1 million to push a single.
Seriously.
You see
takes
what I'm
a million
saying?
Dollars.
So,
easy.
Like
you need $1 million.
And a lot of people don't have that kind of budget.
You hopefully blow up.
And hopefully, right.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's a gamble. It's a gamble, bro.
And if you don't have that person, that person or that investor that believe in you enough to put that money into you to do that, then
it's gonna be a hard road.
It's a hard road until you get out there and, you know, join these music conferences. They have 4 of them a year.
That's where I was gonna go.
You
that's
see what
where
I'm
I
saying?
Was going with it.
They got what the AC3, they got the Revolt, they got the South by Southwest.
Yep.
What's the other one?
There's a couple, man. Well, there's those are the 4 big ones.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, like, because BMI does workshops as well. It's just like if you want to be a doctor, you got to go to school to be a doctor.
Right. Exactly.
You got to study it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's the same with this music shit, man. Like, just because, Auntie Mildred and Grandma said you was tight, don't mean that's what I'm saying. I mean, they're going to support you regardless.
Right.
You have to, and I think the biggest thing that most artists, and I'm going to just say it like it is, man, have issues with. Like, I had to learn myself, and I'll use myself. I had to learn to take criticism.
Yeah.
Seriously. Because, exactly. Once upon a time, you could be like, I thought, I was the shit. Like, if you told me one of my tracks wasn't banging, I look at you like, yeah, shit on your breath.
Right.
It's like, seriously. Seriously.
That way.
But I had Something to. Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I had to stop and listen to the people, though. These are your fans. Right. These are the people who are buying it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just like. I remember Fo told me once upon a time there was a song I was going to lead with for one of the projects I did years ago. And he was like, man, that's not the song.
Hey.
And I'm sitting there arguing with him.
I'll give you a private example.
Yeah.
That song we did with Stevie Stone, you read the comments in the post on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
That they was like, oh, that wasn't your style. The beat's hard, but that ain't your style. That ain't your style. That
he
ain't
did
what
something different,
with.
Though. Yeah. You know?
But you know, the fans, and then I did... And then the Hennessy and Harmony one, they like, oh, that's mm-hmm. that's more, mm-hmm. you know, that's Stevie Stone. That's mm-hmm. that's what we've been looking mm-hmm. for. That, you know, because the fans look for a certain thing. Like you change.
You have to listen to your audience.
They don't like change.
They don't like change.
That's what I'm saying. You change up. They, you know what I'm saying? Even like women with their weight and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They, the people grow up. People grow up with the same body set.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? They envy them type of people. Then when you lose weight, then that's a change.
Right.
And they like, oh, you look better like how you was.
Right.
You
that's
know
real.
What I'm saying? But the person really did it because they wanted to do
that's
it.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Self-esteem, man. It's like, you know, we was talking about it earlier, man. Believing in yourself.
Exactly, yeah.
You have to believe in yourself. But look, the way someone told me once, man, one of my mentors told me years ago, man, was like, you have to treat yourself as an investment.
Yep.
Yep.
Like, it ain't just about waking up, like, you doing what you're doing every day and, like, your hustle and all. You have to treat yourself. Your music is an investment. Mm-hmm. And, like, if you're going to take the time to get into music, then you need to understand, like, what you're really getting into. You need to understand
an
that,
investment,
like,
a business?
Yeah, it's a business. You know what I'm saying?
I love.
This is why, like, if I was a multimillionaire or a multimillion dollar A&R or some type of music mogul, man, like, you have to protect your assets. Like, I would have security around motherfuckers, like, all the time, bro. This is my money maker.
Yeah, right.
Like, I mean, like, not even, I mean, going back to 1996, the whole Tupac Shakur shit.
Right.
Okay? Well, I'd have seen him in the lobby, like, homie, what you doing? I know damn well you ain't, like, no, go put your vest on. You're my biggest selling artist. I don't care where we going, bro. Go put your vest on. I don't care if your Versace shirt don't look good with it or nothing. Go put your vest on.
Yep.
Seriously, man.
Yeah.
I mean, because you're an investment at that point. Yes, you are a human being. But when you're working, it ain't no different than the job, the 9-to-5 I go to every day, man. When you're working, I'm on their time. You know what I'm saying? They paying me to be there for them. Same shit, man. Y'all, when you're an artist, you working for, if you got your own company, that's why I respect Chance the Rapper.
Right.
I think Chance is probably one of the smartest artists I've ever seen, dude. Yeah. I mean, like, I watched him do a seminar, and he talked about it, man, about how he was just like, there were like three companies, I guess, that was trying to sign him. But he was like, why would I sign at this point? He said he brokered his own Doritos deal, or the Doritos deal.
Damn.
He brokered his own, his people, his family and them, brokered that Twix deal he had, the commercials. His albums then all came out independently.
Independent.
He done won a Grammy off one of his mixtapes.
Right. And
you know what I'm saying? Like,
and like I said, a big reason it is because, you know, he did all that by himself. He knew the business.
Dude.
He realized that this is 90% business and 10% music.
Talent.
Seriously, though.
You know?
So seriously.
Once you realize that and treat yourself,
yes.
You know, whatever you
yes,
is,
sir.
A producer,
yes, sir.
A rapper, a songwriter, once you treat yourself as a business and act accordingly as that,
yes, sir,
then people start to respect you.
Absolutely.
People start to sit up there and take initiative, like, oh, maybe I should mess with him because he really running it.
Absolutely.
He really running it like absolutely. A legit, like somebody that know what they talking about, know what they doing. And,
absolutely.
And this thing. So that makes a big difference, you know?
I think that's huge, bro. I think you're right on the money with that, bro.
I would say a lot of artists, you know, the biggest deal I come across is the split sheets.
Yeah.
Learn about split sheets.
Right.
Because that's how you get paid.
That's how you get paid.
You don't get paid. You don't get paid without that.
You can't.
That's the biggest thing.
You got to have it, man. Paperwork. I preach paperwork, man. You got to have, like, there's levels to this shit, I think, man. And you have to, it depends on what level you want to be on. Do you want to be on the intermediate? I'm sorry, the beginner. Exactly. Just like, you know, like Tecmo Bowl used to be. Mm-hmm. Intermediate, beginner, or professional. You know what I'm saying? Which level do you want to play on? Because that's going to determine how your career goes. You know what I'm saying? I honestly believe that, man. A lot of, you have to understand the industry. You have to understand the industry. When a lot of people you see in these videos, man, like, I can honestly say, like, the Migos, they probably paid. I honestly believe the Migos is mad. Yeah, okay, sure. When you see the Migos with their bread, they throwing cash. That's their cash at this point.
Yeah. Okay. Because they hold, you know, P and Q and all them.
Exactly.
They ran it. They came up from the ground up.
Exactly.
Like they independent. And just like you'll see a new label coming out called Authentic Empire. I was supposed to have an interview with them sometime or another. But
yep.
They're another group that's coming out just like how QC came out.
Yeah.
And then. There's also one more out of New York called Bentley Records.
Okay.
It's coming out pretty soon, on the come up.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of emerging record labels that these artists don't really need to tap into. Because, I mean, like, for instance, Boom Man, Authentic Empire, they're signing artists every month, giving them $100,000 a chain.
Right.
They sat there and gave a whip gave a whip out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The main thing that's stopping everybody is probably that they don't want to invest into their career because they think that they ain't going to get nothing out of it.
Right.
But you never know.
Yeah.
So why not do it?
Well, see, then you got...
You spend money on fucking weed and Hennessy and
oh,
bitches.
Man, shit.
You know what I mean? Might as well spend it on your career. You know what
this
I mean?
This is why I got a studio, man, because I had to learn a hard lesson at a young age, man, that there's more to life than that shit.
Right.
I mean, because, like, shit, I mean, 800 ain't gonna lie. I mean, anybody who know me once upon a time, man, knows how I lived. And I say it all the time, man. Like, it's probably the reason I'm like I am now, man, because I feel like I've lived a life of 12 men, bro. I mean, like, shit, I got kids and...
Kids got kids.
My children all have grown up watching me do this music, man. And I got a lot of kids, too, man. I mean, and some of that comes from the music, too, man. Traveling, meeting people, meeting other people. Just, there's a lifestyle, man. And it's like, I can't really, Foe call, I remember Foe once said it was the rock star life. But I can't look at it like that because that shit been hard. Rock star about my shit, at least. Yeah, I'd be honest with that.
Still trying to get to the top.
Man, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But humble, though. Humble.